What are the reasons for individual differences? The reasons which influence the difference in behavior among people include human abilities, which is to do with physical abilities. I have an ability to do work for say 8 hours continuously. Somebody else doesn't have it. So there's an individual difference between him and me. To carry out physical activities and tasks using strength, energy and coordination. One of the things. Second is intellectual abilities. The capacity to think, analyze, interpret and make decisions. Some people are sharper in making decisions because they think sharper. That's the difference between A and B. Next comes biological characteristics. Age. It influences judgment, skills, emotional balance, wisdom, flexibility and adaptability. Now, on this particular aspect, I have my own view. I'm not thrusting it on you. I just want to give you an input. These are indicators. The good news and the bad news, if I can use those terms, they are indicators. Like it is said that people who are in the younger age group, they have a certain type of behavioral characteristics. It's true, by and large. But there could be a youngster who is defying that particular rule. It's possible that a youngster is much more mature than an elderly person. And we see this. That's why we say behavior is not a pure science. It's not an algebra or a geometry where everything is set. These are indicators. The indicators tell you that by and large, this could happen when the person is in this age group, when the person is of this gender, when the person is belonging to this ethnic group. The 3 points in the slide. By and large. But it is not a rule that it will happen when you belong to this group or that group. So the first one is about age. It influences judgment, skills, emotional balance, wisdom, flexibility and adaptability. It's an indicator. It's an indicator that is useful to understand, hey, this person is 45 years old. So since he is 45 years old, he should be having certain amount of maturity, some experience, some wisdom, etc., etc. That is for the initial scanning. But when you go closer, his individual difference may come out. That's what is the challenge about human beings. A person who is very individualistic, who says, I like to be myself, he may defy this particular rule. A person who is saying, no, I am at the age of 45, let me be like other people like at the age of 45, he is into what is called as conforming. He says, let me fit into that group where I am accepted. There are two types of people. Those who want to get accepted, the conformist. So they do everything to get accepted. And there are those who are rebels. They say, no, I'll do what I want to do. I don't care whether the group is accepting me or not. Now both these type of people are there around us. We learn to manage them. That's very important. Gender. A debatable point today in the global business, in today's world, 21st century, gender is a big debate. Men in general are more aggressive than women. The author has written, not me. It's not true always. It's not true always. This is an indication. The roles that men have played historically, has put them into that slot saying that men are aggressive. Men should not cry. Men should not do this. Men should not do that. If you do that, you are not a man. This is the type of things we hear. Come out of it. Men in general are more aggressive than women. Who said that? Without sounding sexist, without sounding biased towards men or against women, even women are aggressive. This is an indicator, as I told you. Inside you, what's going on, that is what makes you aggressive or not aggressive or passive. So this is an indication. Men are aggressive, women are more caring. One of the corollaries of this. It's coming in the future slides. Now, this is an indication. So we can't go around and say, hey, you're a man, how come you're crying? How come you're not aggressive? Come on, grow up. You may put that person into a shell. He'll not respond. He'll not fight for his life. Because we all have some natural tendencies with which we fight for life. That has to be understood and respected. And bring out the best. More about it later when we go around the slides. Ethnic groups. Ethnic groups means we belong to certain communities. certain religion, certain sect, certain subsect, there are common rituals, common practices, common likes and dislikes, common foods. This is ethnic group. This ethnic group impacts human behavior in a very big way in a country like India. In organizations, you come across so many ethnic groups, my God. You just can't. To handle the ethnic group thinking is the biggest challenge. This is based on the variations in culture and include what are called as tribalistic, egocentric, sociocentric and existential. There are four different categories in ethnic groups which we are discussing. Tribalistic, egocentric, sociocentric and existential. Tribalistic refers to the people who belong to the tribalistic ethnic group. Tribal, as the name indicates, is all about a tribe, a group of people are coming together who live primitively and who believe in one leader, one chieftain, one person who's at the head, and they solely believe him, whatever he says. This happens in certain very traditional societies, in traditional parts of certain parts of interior India. People in marketing, I've gone to the interiors of different parts of this country. And when I was in marketing, instead of meeting my branch manager in that city, it's good to meet the local leader there who's influencing the consumers. A person from marketing will tell you this. You know, there's a subject called consumer behavior which I teach. So there we talk about how when we go and meet people, we have to meet the person there whose word the entire community believes. So talk to him, influence him and get your products sold. Tribalistic behavior, where there is one boss and we all listen to him. Whatever he tells us, we'll do it. Then comes egocentric. Egocentric people are the ones, they prefer to work alone in their own entrepreneur style. They are self-driven people, they are independent thinkers, and they like to be into their group. This is one ethnic group where the group believes that everybody should be left alone and they should do what they want to do. Some communities are such where they allow entrepreneurship to grow. Some communities are just the opposite. They say no entrepreneurship, let's play safe. Right? Sociocentric. Now sociocentric, we find majority of the people are sociocentric. They seek social relationship from jobs, from the work they do. I know many people in my own community, when we meet, 90% of what they talk is all about their workplace, and the friends are also the workplace friends only. Their entire life is revolving around work, work and work. And so they are the sociocentric behavior people. Every second sentence is about their company, about the role they are playing, about their friends from that company, but they may have rarely friends outside the company circle. It's possible. We are not talking about right or wrong. We are not saying this is right or wrong, but this is the way people are. When people are the way they are, we need to manage them instead of changing them. Because one of the biggest tragedies is people try to change others, as you know. Don't change. Understand why he is doing what he is doing. In behavior, I have a sentence to utter. Just understand what is making the behavior happen. Just understand what is making the behavior happen, not why is he behaving that way. There's a difference. Understand what is making the behavior happen and not why is he behaving like that. When I say why means I'm questioning him. When I say what means I know there's a driver that is making the behavior happen. Understanding that what is OB. Understanding that what is OB. Okay. Existential, the next one. They strive for satisfying the growth and the self-fulfillment need from the jobs. These are the people who are expanding their thinking process, their actions beyond the role that they play. If I am talking to you on this particular subject right now, I choose to not restrict myself into only the subject. I would like to give you additional inputs to make the subject total. That is existential, if I can talk for myself. So when you do your role, more than just the role, and you want to add something to others and also to your own self-fulfillment, that's existential behavior. Next point is, managers should recognize and understand these differences in behaviors and assign appropriate jobs to individuals accordingly. Managers should recognize and understand these differences in behavior and assign appropriate jobs to individuals accordingly. You may get a team in which somebody is tribalistic, somebody is socio-centric, somebody is existential, somebody is egocentric. Now, when you have these four different types of people who are there, they will be displaying four different types of behavior. Managing them is your skill. And you can manage all the four of them, because all of you will agree at the workplace, you cannot choose your team. You cannot choose your subordinates. You can't choose your peer. Neither can you choose your boss. They just come to you. And when something is awarded to you, handling them skillfully in behavior is what makes you successful. I am of the firm belief that handling human behavior is what makes successful CEOs. Your top line, bottom line is directly controlled by the way you treat your people. I'm a business coach. I don't do behavioral coaching. The coaching which I do on the behavioral front, leadership coaching, has to be tangibilized in the form of top line and bottom line of the company. From that standpoint, I'm talking. So if my coaching or my training of a behavior is not producing that results for the top and the bottom line, then I need to fill the gaps properly. Ultimately, we are not doing a social service of understanding behavior. We are trying to understand behavior from the context of adding value to an organization's top line, bottom line, sales and profits. That's important. In your home life, what is top line, bottom line? It's about my interaction, harmonious interaction at home with my wife and my children. And also the net profit is the output they're growing in their lives. This is how one needs to look at it. Right? So, now we come to what is called as models of man. Models of man. Managers understand individual differences to strike a balance between individual behavior and job demands. I have an individual behavior. Let's say I am a tribalistic person. My tribalistic behavior, I believe only in listening to one boss. One person who is my role model, I only listen to him, no matter what happens. If you put me into a job demand, which is to do with public relations, I'll be the miserable flop. And it'll also ruin the company. Allocating the right job for the right person is a skill of the manager. When we learn delegation in principles of management, friends, the subject, you'll come across how allocation of work has to be done. And you must not allocate work to any Tom, Dick and Harry which he or she cannot be effectively doing it. This is a skill. First, your nature. On the basis of that, you allocate work. Next, what you do? You make the person get coping up with better adaptability. That is the second level. But first, give them the things which make them comfortable, which brings out the best in them. Then gently push them. Then they rise up. So managers understand individual differences to strike a balance between individual behavior and the job demands. To understand the differences, certain assumptions are made about people. So there are various models, various theories and various types of models which we have to understand what makes a man think what he thinks. What makes a person think what he thinks. So there is this particular model of man which we are discussing in the next slide. These are based on certain assumptions. So there is this one single person, you or me, who has all these models within me in varying degrees. Now what does it say? Here it is. It's like a spider chart, and we have got what is called the economic man, the social man, the organizational man, the self-actualizing man, the complex man, the impulsive man, and the compulsive man. How many of them are there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different types of models of man is said. What does it mean? All these 6, all these 7 may be a part of you. Within you, there is an economic man. Within you, there's a social man. Within you, there's an organization man. Within you, there's a self-actualizing man. Within you, there's a complex man. Within you, there's an impulsive man. And within you, there's a compulsive man. They could be in different degrees of proportion, but they're all there in you. At any given point of time, I need to know when I talk to you, which man am I addressing? Am I addressing the economic man? Am I addressing the impulsive man? Am I addressing the self-actualizing man? I need to know that. That's what the next slides are going to be discussing. to know how to identify who's an economic man in you, who is a social man within you, who's the organization man, etc. Economic man, assumptions. The assumption is based on what? Man is motivated by economic incentives like salary and fringe benefits. At the very primary level, when you start working, it's only money that motivates for most of us. Freshers, entering from the university directly to the company, campus recruitment, they are motivated by salary and fringe benefits initially. Everybody wants money, they want to feel good about themselves. So money makes them feel good. So this, the economic man in that youngster is what you need to address. Man is motivated by economic incentives like salary and fringe benefits. His feelings need to be controlled and molded towards rationality. He thinks only in terms of money and fringe benefits and incentives and all that. Now that may make him get away from the main role he's supposed to play. So this person needs to be treated through thinking process. Look, money is important. But when money is important, you also need to do this thing. So logically, you have to guide him into that thing. That's a role which we need to play. Understanding this model of man. Organizations can predict and manipulate human behavior and work done by controlling the economic incentives. For a person like this, if I identify that XYZ is an economic man, is highest in him, then I can use incentives, manipulate and get work done. But that's not all. It's just a suggestion given. The idea is not to manipulate people when you know them. The idea is to know which part of you is speaking to me, which part of you is alive right now in front of me. Is it the economic man? Is it the other man? Is what we need to understand. Let's say the second one, social man. This social man, assumption is what? He values social relationships more than economic incentives. He says, don't give me money, don't give me incentives. Put me in a good environment where I feel like working with each other. Building bridges with people. Going for parties with the office employees themselves. Holding a small get-together in the office. Some people are like that. He can be motivated by satisfying his social needs. Organizations can assign jobs which provide an opportunity to satisfy social needs. So he is a person who loves to be into that social mold. So put him into that type of a job. Right? Third one, the organization man. He prefers to work with others to satisfy his belonging needs. He likes to work with people in a structured format like an organization. And by doing that, he likes to satisfy his needs of belonging to them. It's like some people, you know, they proudly, when you meet them, they proudly say, I am so and so from this company. They love to be identified as a extension of the company or the agent of the company. There are many people who do that. So these are the organization people, the organization man. They think organization, they sleep organization, they eat organization, they talk organization wherever they go. Some of them do it excessively, no doubt. So he would sacrifice his needs for the sake of the group or the organization. So he may not attend a Diwali function, he may not attend an Eid, he may not go for a Christmas or something, he will land up in the organization because he's an organization thinker. Group and collaborative activities contribute to his creativity. So he believes that doing something within the organization structure is something which I feel nice about. I feel I'm creative when I do this. This need not be commercial organizations like Infosys or L&T or something. It can be any format into which he is put. So suppose the group of people in the society where he lives is planning a get together. There are more than about 100 members, 100 flats. Then for that 100 flats, he is willing to become a sort of a leader. He said, I'll fix up the whole thing. I'll take charge. He loves to do it because he feels doing that is making him feel creative. So identify this personality. Next comes the self-actualizing man. Self-actualizing is very sublime. The assumption is what man is satisfied most when he achieves and creates something special. Such a type of a person always feels that I must do something extra. I must do something different which others don't do. So such a person is a self-actualizing man. Identify that. You tell him to do some task. He will not only do the task, he will put a garnish around it. He'll put a nice icing on the cake. And he will put a nice colorful signature or something which will make it unique. That will speak out. It's a pinnacle of creativity which he is into. Self-actualization provides ultimate satisfaction and already satisfied needs like monetary and social needs are no longer motivators. A painter is painting for the sake of it. You give him money, you don't give him money, you push him, you motivate him, he doesn't care because he's in a different plane altogether. In the study in organization behavior, in one of the future chapters, or even in the study of principles of management, you'll come across what is called as a Maslow's pyramid. Different levels at which one gets motivated. Self-actualization at the pinnacle of the pyramid. Right? External incentives do not affect them. They are self-driven and they are working for sublime reasons. What do you think? This person is from a very senior level? Need not be. Let us not be under the mistaken notion that when you rise up the organization, you will become self-actualized. Need not be. You can be self-actualized at any stage of your life because it's behavior. Behavior does not have a direct relationship to your age or anything. It just happens because behavior is too complex. It's a social science. It's an applied science. You can have a youngster in your home who's self-actualized. He doesn't want to. He doesn't want money. He doesn't want any type of pat in the back. He does things for the sake of it. Right? Complex man. Assumption: man is motivated by a set of complex variables and factors. Most of us are into this. Unpredictable behavior. Suddenly something he or she does. Very complex. I'm coming for a picnic. I enroll for the picnic. I pay the money. At last minute I don't go. I'm going to do this program. I'm going to watch this video today. And everything is set and he doesn't do it. I'm going out for a party. I'm not available from 6 to 7 or 6 to 9. And that person is actually at home. I'm sure some of us do it. Most of you listening to me must be doing it at some point of time. And you must be left wondering, why am I doing it? And your people may say, hey, you were supposed to be there. Why? What are you doing here? There is no explanation. This is what is a complex man. There is a variation in need, pattern, behavior, direction, control. All of us have got, all of us, every human being has got this particular quality to be free to do what he wants to do. Need not be a timetable. As infants, when we are newly born, we are having the freedom to do what we do. See a small kid who is on the floor. He or she does whatever he or she wants to do. Spontaneous. This complex man is exhibiting his spontaneity within a framework where spontaneity is not acceptable. Spontaneity people don't accept. If you do something crazy which is unpredictable, it is not acceptable, isn't it? So he is considered to be complex. I for one believes that anybody can do anything, anywhere, anytime. If you have this preparedness in your mind, nothing will shock you. You learn to absorb that change. So the man behaves differently in similar situations due to absence of cause-effect relationship. He is sometimes switched off that if I do this, this will happen. You take a car and you drive out in high speed, very top speed to some place. You know for sure as a thinking individual that you may hit someone or you may get caught by the cops. Cause and effect. Completely it has gone for a toss and you're doing something which looks like insanity, madness. This is there in all of us. Identify it in yourself and others. Impulsive man. He acts spontaneously. He just feels like doing so, he does it. Impulsive forces make the man act suddenly without any rational reasoning. At the stroke of at midnight or 1 a.m. You're coming back from a film or something. At 1 a.m. I want to have food. Not that he's hungry. He just wants to have. Or he says, let's do something crazy. We'll go for a swim at 1 a.m. Spontaneous. No reasoning. Now we may say that fellow's stupid, is idiotic from our viewpoint. Because we are talking from a structural viewpoint. But we need to understand that he is doing what he is doing. We need to ask a question. What is making him do that? That what will give the answer to managing him? To handling him, not controlling him. So it is difficult to predict their behavior. I am so fortunate, or shall I say unfortunate, I do not know. I would say fortunate. I have a few friends who are like this. And their impulsiveness has taught me a lot about how to handle impulsive people. And it's really interesting, even in organizations, there are impulsive people who are suppressed. Impulsive people have creativity in them. When you're doing a brainstorming, it's impulsive people who actually come out with something that sounds crazy, but that may be a creative idea for the future, an innovation. Okay? Next, compulsive man. Man does not act or react quickly. He waits. He is compelled by circumstances. He allows certain things to happen. He'll go with the flow. He considers the influences of various factors, situations, personalities to collect information and analyzes the output. He weighs all the pros and cons about what is going to happen or not happen. Then he'll be taking decisions. Careful, thought out decision. Compulsive. He evaluates the consequences of output and behaves in a desirable way. He has to go for a party or a wedding. His wife tells him, "You wear this shirt." He will think, "If I wear this, what will my aunt say? What will my uncle say? What will my so-and-so say? By the way, we are going to that particular hall. In that hall, you know, this is a very five-star type of a place. So what will people think?" So he'll get into all those things. And then he will tune himself in such a way, he'll wear that shirt which suits him there to his mind. Compulsive man. Interesting, isn't it? We all do it. We are all a part of it, all of us. When I'm narrating these things, friends, identify each part of this model of man within you and you'll know what you're doing. So next time you won't point finger at someone, you'll start looking at yourself and then you'll realize this is what I am. If I am what I am, then I have no business to pass judgments and decisions about others because he is also like me. We are similar in many respects. But we are dissimilar in many other respects. This aspect, the awakening has to happen in you and me. That's why we are learning organization behavior or behavior for the matter. Taking it further, we are talking about group similarities and dissimilarities. Group. So we are working in an organization, we are in a home, we are in a society, everywhere we are in groups. Social, cultural, religious factors affect group behavior. Social, the mixing I do with my neighbors, with my home, with my society, with the friends, with the organization where I work. Cultural, culture is basically what it's about, a group of people who are adhered together with common behavior, common faith, common beliefs, common practices. Religion is bigger. A religion creates a culture. Religion is a way I relate to my God. Everyone, every religion has got its way of relating to God. So I belong to this religion which relates to God this way. You belong to another religion which relates to God that way. So these religious factors, yours and mine, might bring about either a similarity or a dissimilarity. Work-related cultural values. They affect the motivation needs of groups. People from poor countries are motivated by compensation, whereas in rich countries they require recognition and responsibilities. Some 30-40 years back, Indian culture, Indian work culture was basically compensation thinking. Most of us used to feel that, how much money am I getting? I don't mind doing any rigorous work. Because we were seen as a poor nation, our thinking was also a little poverty conscious. So we used to always value money. Even today in our society, they don't look at what good a professional you are and how reputed you are. They look at what are your acquisitions. As you grow in your life, they look at you, do you have a very good imported car? Are you living in a very big tower flat? Are you living in a bungalow? Acquisitions is what is considered as the most important thing. I've come across students who come and tell me they want to take up a management course because they want to make more money. Nothing can be more foolish than this. You will make money after doing a management course provided you convert them into skills. Now, if every time you're looking at compensation as the only point of changing a job, then you are the most miserable person according to me. And sorry to say, many people are miserable because at some point of time, this aspect comes up very high. Compensation is important. It's not unimportant. But compensation alone is not going to help you to realize yourself and enjoy what you do. There's a thing called job satisfaction. That doesn't come with compensation alone. Make money. We have to make huge money. Everybody should be happy with money. But money should not make you and drive you nuts. Rich countries, those of you who have worked in developed countries, you will find that their compensation is not given so much of weightage by the people. They said, we want recognition. We want to work with moral values. We want responsibilities which is in commensurate with our experience and competencies. Those are given the focus. So work-related cultural values, they matter. Next comes individualism versus collectivism. Now this is the model which we are going to talk about in the future chapter. It's called as Hofstede's cultural values. Hofstede's cultural model. Individualism versus collectivism. Certain countries, they believe in individual expression and individual living. Like the advanced Western countries believe that a person should be encouraged to be alone. That's why you find youngsters at the age of 5 or 6, they have their own bedroom. Individualism is an important value in their society. If you start clustering around with your mom and dad beyond an age, you are considered to be CZ. Whereas in the Eastern culture, it's just the opposite. If you see here, out here in India, we believe in collectivism. Even after the age of 60, we start taking advice from our mom and dad for small things. I'm not saying we are right or wrong. I'm just giving you, today we are in global working. So in every organization, we have people coming from different cultures and working. In a large IT company, for example, I find people from different parts of the world coming and working. So one comes from an individualistic culture, the other one comes from a collective culture. When they come together, there is bound to be a certain amount of conflict. The collective fellow feels that I can talk to that person because he is collective in his thinking. That person says, give me space. So you must learn to give space to them. But you know what's happening now in the recent years? Since these two people are coming together, they are staying for a long period of time, they start rubbing off on each other. That's a new phenomenon going on.